Blog Talk Radio.
I'm
That's right. Praise Break Friday. Taking the Limits Off Radio is live. That's right. Coming to you live from the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music. We are broadcasting live from this place. And man, I'm excited as always to be here on another Praise Break Friday. Y'all know Praise Break Friday. That's the day we really get to delve deep down into all things worship. And tonight is no different. We got a great show for tonight. Look, the article tonight is so huge, it's going to have to be broken down into two parts. That's how big tonight's conversation is. It's going to be broken down into two parts. 14 ingredients for developing a worship ministry from scratch. Did you get that? 14 ingredients for developing a worship ministry from scratch. And I'm sure somebody probably saying, well, if you start on time, you probably do go through the whole thing. You might be right. But guess what? Part one is tonight. We're going to get through the first seven of these tonight. 14 ingredients for developing a worship ministry. That is our main topic of conversation. We're going to talk about that and some other things that are going on in and around the world. And man, but we're going to have a good time with it. But as always, let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of tonight's live broadcast. If you're already listening on the line, all you got to do is push one. That'll get you to my producer, the best producer in the land, the one, the only, Latanya Michelle King, taking all of your calls, chats, emails, letters, Twitters, tweets, Instagrams, whatever. She's doing all that over there. She'll get you on the air. You'll be on with her. She'll check you out, make sure you save, got some semblance of the Holy Ghost, and then you'll be live on the air with your boy. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 323 323-870-4375. That is the call-in number, 323-870-4375 is your call-in number. If you want to email the show, you can email the show. It's TTLO show at TTLOmedia.net. That's right. It's the TTLO show at TTLOmedia.net. Real simple, real easy to do. TTLO show at TTLOmedia.net is where you can email the show. If you want to follow us on social media, there's several ways. We are everywhere. You can follow us on Twitter. That's right. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's right. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio, 2 T's, 1 L, 1 O. TTLO Radio is where you can tweet the show. If you want to follow us on Instagram, follow us on the gram, follow us on IG, follow us on the gram at TTLO Radio. Same thing, follow us on the gram at TTLO Radio, 2 T's, 1 L, 1 O. TTLO Radio is where you can follow us on the gram. If you want to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio, facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. The live streams are up and running. Y'all come on in, get in here. The live streams are up and running. You can find us right now live on the book, live on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio, facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. You can come on, join in, and find us there. Looking forward to seeing all of you guys' comments and everything in the chat. Come in. When you get in, say something. Let me know where you're watching from. Say something to your boy. Jump on in with us. Be excited to talk to you all today. Then YouTube Live is up and running right now. You can catch us on YouTube. If you're there, go ahead and hit subscribe to our YouTube channel. Do us that small favor, hit that subscribe button and be a part of what we're doing over here at the TTLO Media Group. But y'all know how it works. We are an iHeartRadio partner. We are an iHeartRadio partner, which means you can find us on the iHeartRadio app. Just do a simple search for the TTLO Media Group. That's right, the TTLO Media Group. When you find it, you'll find not only the TTLO Radio Show, but you'll also find a couple of our other shows, Healthy Soul Talk. She is on hiatus right now, Dr. Kimberly Thomas, but her show is still up and running. You can catch all of the replays, all of the podcasts. Just download those. Healthy Soul Talk, real issues, real solutions with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. You can always catch her show at any time you feel the need. Just go through, man, do a simple search. You can see all the different titles. I promise you, you'll find a show that can help you in and out of your situation. Looking forward to when she decides to come back, the good Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Also, but my brother is still live. He's still working. The good pastor, Harold D. Washington, The Kitchen Chronicles, every Tuesday. Look, we catch The Kitchen Chronicles when we at Taco Tuesday. I just want y'all to know. You can catch my good brother, Harold D. Washington, from the Faith Works and Vision Church with his own brand of flavor, The Kitchen Chronicles. He hosted every Tuesday, somewhere around 7:15, 7:30. You can catch his broadcast, The Kitchen Chronicles with Pastor Harold D. Washington. But you know how we start our week. Our week doesn't start on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. We start our week off on Sunday with worship. That's right. We start our week off on Sunday with worship. Join us here at the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace. That's right, the birthplace of gospel music. Join us here at Ebenezer every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, Senior Pastor Daryl in person and the Birthplace of Gospel Music family every Sunday morning right here on the TTLO Media Group Network. You can catch us live. We start at 11 o'clock. It don't matter what's going on. We're going to start on time here at the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. But then the praise and the worship does not stop there, because as soon as you're done watching Ebenezer, if you feel like you just need a little bit more word, huh? If you feel like you need a little bit more word, you want a different type of flavor, guess what? We have that to offer you as well, because as soon as we are done, we broadcast the Faith Works and Vision Church. That's right, my brother, the good pastor, Harold D. Washington Broadcast, the Faith Works and Vision Church, right here from the TTLO Media Group. Join the Faith Works and Vision family and Senior Pastor Harold D. Washington every Sunday, somewhere around 12:15. No, somewhere around 12:30, 12:45. That's what time you can catch my brother over there. Always, always a good time. Don't forget, we are an iHeartRadio partner, which means you can find us on your iHeartRadio app. Just do a simple search.
Where you can tweet
again.
The show.
You can find us on
follow
Spotify,
us
iTunes,
on
any of those
time.
Places as
Don't
well.
Forget, we are an iHeartRadio partner, which means you can find us
on your
iHeartRadio
app.
Those
just do a simple search.
Man, always,
again,
so, I'm sorry, you can find us on Spotify,
what's
iTunes,
going on
any of those places as well.
What's going on with everybody?
You can find us
everybody
on
any good week.
Those
it was good to get some
man,
of that
always,
ice and
always
snow.
Good.
So look, here, the ground, I was excited just to see some stuff melt away. I was excited to see some stuff melt away. It is always good. It's always like refreshing when you see the snow. Finally, the snow and the ice melt away. It's almost like it's the start of something new. I know winter's not over yet. Even though the city of Chicago want to pick up all the dibs, you know, put your good futon out there and your baby's playset and your baby bed and the bassinet and the washing machine. Y'all done put everything out there to save a parking space. And the city of Chicago today said they was coming round to clean up y'all's dibs. Tanya, let me ask you a question. How do you feel about the dibs? Are you a fan of the dibs, or you are? I, for some reason, I feel like you anti dibs.
I'm anti dibs.
You are anti dibs. I knew you was anti dibs. You've been over there false flagging. I knew you was anti dibs.
Very, very anti dibs.
Why are you anti dibs, Tanya?
Because you do not own a parking spot, and yes, you did dig it out.
And I mean, dug it, dig
I
it.
Mean, but.
Put your back into it. Let me see you put your back into it.
But you,
huh?
But we talk about this whole thing about community and being, you know, and I know sometimes we can all be selfish and everything else.
Yes.
Like that, but I just really believe if we all, you know, if we all come together.
Uh-huh. Let me listen to this fantasy story. Come on.
You know what? You be having fantasies too, and I don't go and.
Oh, you crush all my, you
I
are.
You just
got out of Dream Killer Rehab, so come on now.
Oh, wow. That's a t-shirt. But no, I really like, you know, I mean, I don't feel dibs just like I don't feel like a person should that they should believe that the parking space in front of their house is theirs. You don't own that. All you own is that house that you have and those property taxes that you pay, if you pay them. I mean, so
did you dig out of a spot?
I sure did not.
You
no.
have to dig out? You just drill because no. You got the truck. You have to dig out.
No, all of my all-wheel drive.
All your all-wheel drive work?
Yes.
Well, some of us ain't got all-wheel drive.
So sorry for you.
Some of us got a whole lot of power, but we ain't got all-wheel drive. So we looking for some extra spots. Sometimes it requires us to dig out. So what you saying is, if I spend 45 good minutes digging my car out of a spot that just happens to be in front of my door. If I spend 35, 45 good minutes digging it out, salting it real good, seasoning it up, you know what I'm saying? Seasoning it up real good. You're saying that once I pull off, that I shouldn't expect to have that park when I come back, even though
all.
I put that work in.
Not
so,
at all.
So when I get ready to come home at night, And now the only spaces are snow field. You're telling me to start digging again.
Start digging again.
At in the midnight hour.
Late.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
That just don't sound right to me. So let me ask you this question, because you ain't always been an all wheel drive person.
Did but I knew how to rock that boat.
Let
though.
Me finish saying what
okay,
I'm saying.
Do you
ain't always been an all wheel drive person.
All right.
Now, you had some front-wheel drive vehicles, the Altima, and the Rendezvous.
Okay.
Was that four-wheel drive?
It probably was.
Probably was not.
I know you're just not
going to
play on my stuff.
You still be trying to protect. You still be trying to protect that rendezvous. You have a special feeling about that rendezvous.
Started the game.
But then you had All-Star. You had the Pathfinder before this one. That was all-wheel drive. You had two of them joints before this one.
Three of them joints.
This is your third one.
Yeah.
I'm saying you had two before this one.
Yeah. Okay.
Right,
yeah,
right,
you're right. I'm sorry. My bad.
Yeah, come on now.
Okay,
I'm
there.
All right. So
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
All right. So you had two of them. So you you have to dig out of none of them? Or is this truck a little different? Because I remember you having some difficulty with the red truck in the wintertime. Or you just didn't trust the red truck in the ice because you always wanted to drive that. At the angle ultimate.
Well, no, okay, so I did not have difficulty with the red truck. I just got so used to driving the Altima that me and the Altima knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
We knew how to handle, we knew how to drive at a certain speed where we not fishtailing or when I turn that corner, I'm not running into a curb and everything. I knew that, and it's like, you know, as I started to learn the truck and everything else like that, like, you know, will I say, like, you know, like, ooh, sucks to be you? Like, no, I mean, I get it. I understand.
That's what it sounds like,
though.
That's what it sounds like.
No.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like that's literally what it sounds like you're saying to everybody else.
No.
Okay. All right.
No, not
so you're not a fan. Anyway, so in the city, y'all, if y'all were not in the Chicagoland area, we got this thing called Dibs. And in the city, you dig out a spot and you claim that spot and you put you some in that spot. To hold you a spot. I just want y'all to you know, pray for the people in Chicago. Because, you know, winter, if I use my Game of Thrones voice, winter is coming. Winter's still here. It ain't going nowhere just yet. I just want y'all to be prepared for that. Anyway, just a quick note, man. Today, another adventure at my school today. Earlier today, there was a, I don't even see it on Channel 7, what you call it though? But earlier today, there was a, someone shot at a police car, about 5 blocks away from my school, five blocks, right on Fulton. Thank you. My school is right around the corner from Lake Street. Fulton is, is the next street. So right there off of Holman and Fulton. There was some shooting that was going on. Helicopters was overhead, police cars, SWAT team was called in. All of that happened on today. All that happened on today. So we had to have a lockdown situation. Let me read you the little quick little blurb from ABC 7
Celebrate
News.
Valentine's Day for less with Kohl's.
SWAT team was called.
Get up to 60% off jewelry, 25% off festive pajamas, and 25% off COVID.
You know, it always depends on what the news
plus,
is.
Plus, save even more with the Kohl's card.
When it's good
and
news.
And Kohl's cash. Kohl's.
It's West Humble Park.
And updating breaking news right now. We first reported at 4 o'clock a police standoff in Garfield Park near Fulton and Ketchy has now ended. That is where shots were fired at police. A squad car was hit by several bullets. No one is in custody right now. One officer was transported to a nearby hospital for observation.
A SWAT team was called to East Garfield Park after someone fired shots at Chicago police officers Friday morning. A person fired shots at police before running into a building around 9:45 on the block of West Hilton Boulevard. No officer entered with several rounds, struck a squad car. SWAT was called to the scene as officers investigated the shooting, police said.
At 5, a woman was pistol-whipped, and she fell to the ground as she was struggling with a carjacker in Lakeview last night. It happened about 8:30 at Southport and Addison, and Chicago police say the woman refused to comply and tried kicking the man, who then hit her on the forehead with the barrel of a gun.
So, of course, this happened while we're in
car. No arrests have been made.
And because it was in a 5-block radius of where we were, you all know this. I'm a member of a community policing and all that kind of stuff. So I have access to
campus
spotter information when stuff happens and all that kind
Tuggle's
of stuff.
Girlfriend,
I
doesn't want to be identified.
I wasn't called
the now viral video
to it because
to intervene.
It goes off all day. I'm in Chicago, and because my stuff is attached to I logged into Southside Surf and the West Virginia Police Department.
And I spoke to his mother yesterday.
I think I ignored the helicopter. We were in the middle of something like this to happen is really unfortunate.
The body cam video turned the thing on, and we found out what happened because it was going to be a little nicer out today, and the officer went. From zero to 100, we're going to go outside. Adonis said he felt like he could not reach us. Campus police say Walter involved in all doors, nobody in, no deliveries, no nothing. After their intervention, part of our lockdown process is we call the police investigation. We literally called 911 from the school.
We dial 911 and we let them know. Even when we're doing a drill, we dial 911 and we let them know we're in a lockdown.
The IT was obtained records tonight that revealed in a police conduct. Tony 19 FBI, Rosen investigating whether Jason Van Dyke violated LaCroix McDonald's civil rights when he killed the Chicago teenager in a police operation. But that federal investigation was to end in mid-2019. There were no federal charges. Former CPD officer Jason Van Dyke is sentenced in Cook County Court. Six and three quarter years federal prison for murder. Jason Van Dyke notoriously firing 16 shots, killing the teenager who was carrying a knife. According to this federal court record, 4 days later, filed on January 22nd, the government confirms that a civil rights investigation of Van Dyke is underway. So even though Van Dyke has been convicted of second-degree murder in state court, the U.S. Justice Department at that time was looking into whether he also violated McDonald's civil rights. Prosecutor stating in early 2019, the government anticipates that the investigation will continue for at least approximately another 6 months. The civil rights investigation of this shooting by Van Dyke was still active, with FBI officials requesting search warrants for access to the social media accounts of witnesses to the incident. But 6 months later, the summer of 2019, there were no civil rights charges announced.
You know, it was a little interesting.
With Van Dyke already out of state prison on the murder conviction, no federal charges have been brought.
So I'm going to share that with you all.
Former federal prosecutor and ABC7 legal analyst Gil Sofer tonight acknowledges new protests, community demands for charges, and political pressure all coming down on a new attorney general administration in Washington.
You know,
but Sofer says charges seem unlikely.
Cases rarely get better with time. They usually get worse. No reason to think that something new has turned up that would now be the prosecutor. But it appears over these many years they decided not to.
Sofer notes that Chicago U.S. Attorney John Lausch is the Van Dyke decision maker. Prospective prosecutions land on his desk. And as the top federal attorney here, a civil rights case would be in Lausch's hands. Most notable is this. Lausch was also the U.S. attorney in 2019 during that first civil rights investigation and a decision at that time not to charge Van Dyke.
And it's a pastor.
I've seen some peaks of sunshine.
Speaking about,
you know, temperatures are in the 40s, and that sky looks more like a springtime sky than a wintertime sky. With
I want to play the clip
clouds and the warmer temperatures than what we've seen over the past few days. But get ready for a cold weekend because we've got a front moving through really as we speak, and behind that front it's going
to
be a surge of colder air that comes in tonight.
You can go
around for both Saturday and Sunday. But it's still 42 degrees right now at O'Hare, melting a lot of that snow out there. Cloudy skies out at O'Hare. We've got winds starting to pick up, so there is a little bit of a wind chill. Feels like 35. But look what happens this evening. We'll be dropping into the lower 30s with some scattered snow showers developing late this afternoon and as we head into the evening hours. The winds, though, those will noticeably pick up over the next hour or so. We're already getting gusts up to close to 50 miles per hour out in St. Charles. And these higher winds are coming in behind this cold front. Still in the 40s at O'Hare Midway and the lakefront, but look at the mid-30s back towards Woodstock, Hampshire, Rochelle, Rockford's down to 34. That's the colder air that's starting to spill in behind that front. And behind that front, too, are some snow showers in Wisconsin that are heading our way. There are a couple of rain showers, one around Vermont, Indiana, stretching down just to the south there of I-65, a couple of stray showers. But here's the batch of snow that will kind of rotate in late this evening and overnight tonight. This could produce some bursts of heavier snow at times, especially along the lakefront and into northwest Indiana. So at 10:30, you can see a couple scattered snow showers with us. Overnight, as we head towards 1, 2 o'clock in the morning.
All right, let's try it again. All right, one more time. Here's the clip.
I say this, I heard somebody preaching the dumbest thing ever I heard preached. Just I mentioned about homosexuals, and I always give a disclaimer, because anyone that knows me, any homosexual watching me, because you know me, because you met me somewhere, you know I'm not homophobic. I don't treat anyone different because of their sexual orientation. No one has ever seen me do that. I preach the truth. But this preacher was up preaching. Thought he was preaching really good. He said, well, why do we always single out the one sin of homosexuality? If you're going to preach about perversion, preach about all of it. I said, no. Are we not supposed to preach about what's wrong? No, I said, no, let me help you. So the reason my spirit speaks out against the alphabet community is because the adulterer knows they're an adulterer. The liar knows they're a liar. The fornicator knows they're on their way to hell. Isn't the alphabet world that want to be a homo and a bishop? That's why we're very vocal against it, because it wants to change what's right and what's wrong in their generation. Sit down with your crazy self until you get a real word. That's an apostolic rebuke. Now sit down. Unless they all hear that crazy stuff, you don't see liars trying to form legislation to make it legal to lie. You go to jail for lying, but you can get ordained as a transgender. What in the world? Yes, they're going to talk about it. So if you want to be a trans, homosexual, lesbian, then that's your choice. We will love you where you are. But you're not going to change the truth. You're not going to say what's right and what's wrong. When you know it's wrong. If they change the truth into a lie. Romans chapter 1. That's what happened. That's why we voice against that. That's why we voice. That's why we voice. But it's the Church of Solomon that allows those kind of mixtures. Well, you can't distinguish right and wrong anymore. Good from evil. It used to be a time people knew they weren't saved. Now people swear up and down, you can move any kind of way and I'm going to heaven. Listen, I'd rather find out now if I'm on my way to hell, then I hate her. Because the Bible says that law is written on your heart, and your thoughts will accuse you or excuse you. No preacher can preach you out of the conviction of the Holy Ghost. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Someone say if it's wrong, it's wrong.
Yeah, so that's I ran across. So I'm in a couple of different groups, and so this clip was featured in one of these groups that I'm in, and there were some people who were very upset by the clip. They were very, very upset by the clip, and I was like, wow, So I listened to it. And then you can catch the entire, let me make sure I get you all in case you want to look at it later. Not now, of course, but if you want to look at it later, the entire clip is on YouTube. You can get the entire clip on YouTube and watch the entire sermon, because that was a snippet of the sermon. Now, that was enough for context. It's not like we just took a 30-second something-something. That was the full context of what he said on that subject. Now, he was talking about that was just a part of his sermon about things that the church allows, right? So that's what it was. It wasn't taken out of context. It wasn't, you know, somebody took a 30-second blurb and lost their mind with it. That's what it was. I want y'all to look at. I sent it to Zachary, a good friend of the show, Zachary Lavender. He shared his journey and struggle with his personal struggle with homosexuality and everything else. And so and I sent it to him because I wanted to know how he felt about it, because I'm sure he's been catching some flack because he is now just, you know, preaching what the Bible says. And it's not about preaching hate, but I just was amazed. First of all, I knew nothing about this preacher prior to today. The other day, I didn't know anything about him, but I did some reading. He is a well trained seminarian, theologian, well trained. And he just preaches the flat out gospel. And you saw his congregation. You saw some clips and some quick pictures of some folks in his congregation. And he's got a younger, from what appears to be, I don't know how much of it you saw, Tanya, but he has a younger congregation at his church. I just thought it was refreshing, and like he said, it was not an attack. It was not an attack. And I love the fact that he pointed out, and it's something that I've always said, you know. But he took it a step further, because I've always said, why do we point out this one thing and we always skip these other ones? But I like his rebuttal, because his rebuttal would be towards me, because his rebuttal would turn around and say, well, the fornicator and the liar and the adulterer ain't trying to change rules and legislation because they already know they wrong. He says this is a group of people who believe that what they are doing is right. I'm not about to have that whole back and forth discussion tonight. I just thought that was powerful. I thought it was a powerful, powerful statement. It's something else, man. It's something else. You had a comment?
Oh no,
I thought I heard you moving the mic over there.
I did move the mic.
Oh, okay.
you know that clip, you know, was very good, very well said. Like, you know, sometimes I was just thinking this period before this clip, how sometimes you don't understand some things,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it takes about one, two, or three times and everything else like that before you get, like, you know, grasp the concept
mm-hmm.
of it
mm-hmm.
and everything else like that. And when he put the verses of the adulterer and the fornicator together
mm-hmm.
and everything else like that, it makes you think.
Mm-hmm.
It was more thought provoking to like, you know, like, hey,
mm-hmm.
if somebody looks within themselves, and I know, and I understand, like, you know, I love who I love and everything else, and, you know, I get it and everything else like that, but, like, you know, if this Bible says this, like, you know, we all trying to get into heaven, like, we don't want to see anybody perish, like, you know, stop trying to change the rules to fit you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that and that's not the only time, that's not the only thing. And I'm not.
Felicia says, did you read it? It was an attack because he used a put down without love. Tell the truth, but keep the critical part out.
Hold on. It's in my chat. Oh, there it is over there. Okay. Oh, because he used all the critical. Oh, because he used the put down. When are you talking about the ABC community thing? Is that what you're talking about, Felicia? When he said the alphabet community, the ABC. I think he said alphabet or the ABC.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, you know that was shade.
It was some shade.
That was some shade.
It was some pettiness to that.
Yeah. And you know, if you're gonna make a point, I always say, you know, just be outright with it and everything else.
Yeah.
Like that. Don't.
Sometimes the extra
can
cloud your message.
Yeah, and she said yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
I caught that.
Yeah.
I caught that. Like, you know, I'm like, whoa. Like, you know, it's like, you know, as they humble down a little bit, like, you know, like you almost lose somebody.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Your message can get lost real quick. Sometimes with the little extra. Sometimes a little bit too much seasoning can mess up the whole meal, and now I don't even want to taste. I don't want to taste whatever what else you're serving because you done already, you know, over seasoned. You've over salted this one area. I thought the message was outside of the alphabet community thing, and I'm guilty too because I'm guilty because I forget all the letters.
Yeah,
that's been added.
Because you do it.
I've said LGBT LMNOP because I don't remember all the. Yeah, I've
right.
done
and
it.
That's, you know, and that's wrong.
Yeah, you're right.
I may be right.
No, you're right. I am not going to sit here and defend me. I'm not going to defend me.
Because I mean, yeah, and the thing.
Felicia.
The thing is, you know, as we...
What the other mic is? I thought we switched your mic out.
You did switch this mic out. This one doesn't work as well.
No, we switched it to the other mic.
This is the mic. All I did was change the cover.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Never mind. I forgot my talk. Thank you very much.
Sorry. Oh, like that mic making noises. Okay. Oh God, no! We're not doing that. Yeah, doing the most right there. I don't think that's the right mic. I think we're supposed to be using the other mic, but it's okay. You did change it anyway. Felicia, I have an issue with pastors' pants that are too. Really, Felicia? Really? That's what you. That's what you gonna go with. Was the brother's pants tight? I didn't think he had. But did he have more tight pants? I wasn't looking at the brother's pants either. I mean, Felicia, I'm trying to understand what you doing looking at the brother's pants. Tanya over here in the snack box, y'all. Ain't no don't shush me when I'm hearing papers and bags rattling in my right ear socket over here. You snack bag. Anyway. I thought that the outside of the shade, I thought that the message was bless your ministry. I thought that the shade was outside of the shade. I'm sorry that the message, because it's an interesting thought where, and I often think about it from this standpoint. I'll say it like this. How you doing, Brother Campbell? I often think about it from this standpoint. There are so many different organizations that are the plight of Black people. Let me say it this way, because we're in Black History Month, right? This is the month that has been set aside for us to celebrate or to highlight our history. Right. I highlight our history. Now, Morgan Freeman, I want to play another clip for y'all before I jump into the article. Then I'm going to jump right into the article because I want to give it at least what time is it? I want to give it the appropriate amount of time. Morgan Freeman. Also, had a conversation. I've been talking about Black history and all this kind of stuff. And so I am. I don't know how I feel about, I've always felt some way about Black History Month. And I say that because I felt some kind of way about it because of the fact that it was the shortest month and all that kind of stuff. And then singing them old songs and all that kind of stuff always. I never knew how I felt about it, and because I knew what the songs were what the songs were about and everything, it never quite resonated with me. The speeches and all that was all, as a kid, that stuff was fun, but in my teenage years, I don't know if I reflected on it the same way. In my mid-20s and 30s, I was all in, and then, you know, I went through my, yes, absolutely, we're going to be black and all that. But then it's like, I'm constant, and I don't know. I think my thinking process is constantly evolving, and so I want to play this clip. It's an older clip from Morgan Freeman. He's doing two different interviews. One is with Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes, and the other one is with Don Lemon from CNN. You don't want me to show it? Okay. I realized I killed it. Yeah, my bad. I'm about to give it back to you though. But I want to give it to you again. I want to give you this clip, with Morgan Freeman, and, you let me know when you got it. Okay. And cause there's a reason why I'm mixing the two issues, and then we'll come back. Y'all can keep going in the chat. We're going to keep going. Do me a favor. If y'all haven't already hit the share button, hit the share button. But here we go. Come on, Brother Morgan. Speak to the people. Speak to the people. He's going to talk in a minute, though, because maybe once I unmute Facebook. All right.
Black History Month you find ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to our month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is Black History Month?
Well, come on, tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish.
Okay.
This month is Jewish History Month.
There isn't one.
Oh. Why not?
Yeah.
And you want one?
No.
I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history. How are we going to get rid of racism and
stop talking about it?
I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman.
The whole thing, especially the president and Democrats, are talking about income inequality. And that's basically what, you know, when you talk about the richest 85 people on the planet, right?
Yeah.
It's income inequality. Do you think that's, looking at, you know, what's happening in the news now, is that a good idea?
It's a great idea.
It is the greatest idea. We have a much more vibrant society when we don't have such a vast chasm between the haves and the have-nots. We need that middle ground that we call the middle class, the people who buy everything, people who use the products that the rich are creating, if they're creating anything other than wealth, right?
Right.
So it's what's happening with the Chinese economy right now. They're changing their whole outlook because they need consumers.
Yeah.
And without a middle class, you're not going to have consumers. You're not going to have it at the level that we normally would have it.
So can I go back to you? Because I thought what you said was fascinating, because you called it bull when you said people can't, you know, pull themselves up.
Do you think that race plays a part in wealth distribution, or either a mindset that you can't
today?
Or cannot? Yeah.
No.
You don't?
No.
I don't. You and I, we're proof. Why would race have anything to do with it? Put your mind to what you want to do and go for that. It's kind of like religion to me. It's a good excuse for not getting there.
Yeah.
You know, I said, and it's probably getting me in trouble, but I said to some of my colleagues recently, so I know that it's an issue, but it seems like every single day on television I'm talking about race, and it's because of the news cycle. It's in the news. But sometimes I get so tired of talking about it. I want to just go, this is over. Can we move on?
And if you talk about it, it exists.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like it exists and we refuse to talk about it, but making it a bigger issue than it needs to be is the problem here.
So I understand you recently had a birthday. You're 27? No. It's got that on 37.
37. 37. Yeah. We have a little surprise for you. Can we get it? There you go.
Oh, no. That's more like it.
That's your... Happy birthday, sir.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you for joining us here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Appreciate you.
So I wanted to share that. Just another different perspective from just another thought process, right? How do y'all feel about what Morgan Freeman said? That's not a new clip either. That's an older clip from him and Mike Wallace. Definitely that's an older clip from him and Don Lemon, because Don Lemon looked real young. He looked like he was like 12. How did you all feel about brother Freeman? Y'all know him as God.
Bruce Almighty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not supposed to have your phone in class.
Okay, all right.
Whoa.
Okay, it's not there.
Whoa.
You can get your phone afterwards. Just chill out. It's fine. Okay, just sit down. It's fine. You got your phone probably in your pocket. Just sit down. It's fine.
Whoa.
Okay, just finish the lesson. Just sit down. Just sit down. Just sit down, it's fine. You're not supposed to have your phone in class anyway. Just have a seat. We'll find your phone. Just sit down.
We all about, you know, calling out the Karens and, you know, the Karens and the Kens and everything just like that.
I hear it. Don't you guys hear that?
We can't eradicate racism. Because I think racism is just like one
pattern. What is she doing?
Everyone is not going to like it.
Just
because we know what you
okay.
Say,
stop.
Like,
just sit down so we can finish
like
the class. We all have to go.
Like,
yeah, we all have to go. All right, just sit down. It's fine. It's fine.
You know,
it's fine. Just don't worry about it. Just sit down.
Call them out. You make it known. And everything else like that. Either they cower back. Either they say, yeah, I said what I said. And they stand on it,
mm-hmm.
Or they don't say anything at all. That's just my take.
I appreciate that. I saw Felicia. I saw your comment says she agreed with the first clip. Yeah, I am. I want to say I'm in agreement as well because with the first clip, because I do believe that it gets very tiring that every time I turn on a particular channel that they're talking about something else that black folks don't have or something else that black people have been denied or something else that, you know, is there racism in this country? Absolutely. Do a number of white people still look down at black people? Absolutely. And Felicia, I'm not in the business of changing what people think about black folks. Focus on yourself and be proud of your race. Absolutely. Go ahead. You turned your mic off.
I
didn't.
I want to say one more
you
thing.
You turned your mic off.
No, I mean, like, you know, we always have every, seems like every year. And like I said, I can't wait to hear what the new catchphrase is. But right now, this new terminology of black fishing, where, like, you know, of course they, you know, of course they say Kim Kardashian, like, you know, such that, you know, either she wears the black clothes or looks like the black models and everything else like that, but we don't get the credit that's, you know, that's due. I mean, I say this like, the best form of what's the saying of a compliment is when somebody, like, you know, like, you know, you're just complimenting us when you keep redoing what we do. Because no one could do it better than us.
I get it. Yeah, the best form of flattery is what's the word? You copy off somebody
else.
I forget the doggone word.
Yeah.
No shade on Martin, Emmett, or Harry, but more black folks have done more for this country than them and still are. Please show them. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And they are. And I've said this for years. Tanya said this for years. When you do these history, when you show these black history presentations, there's so much more to our people than slavery. And there's so much more to our people than the civil rights movement. There's so much more to black history than the civil rights movement. And that's why I am always one. I know at my school, I am on the committee because we formed a committee at my school because black history was not something that was, Black History Month was not something that was highly celebrated because either nobody wanted to take on the task or imitation, that's the word. Thank you. Help somebody out because we didn't know either.
Yeah,
forgot.
And that's what she does. I'm sorry.
Imitation.
Go ahead.
One of the things that we did was we formed a committee because for me, and I know I was told, the time you told me when I got to the school and other people told me, I said, how is it that, because I found it weird that in February that there was nothing being done for Black History Month when I got to the school. I thought that was the weirdest thing. I'm like, we got a school full of 98.9% African-American people, a whole bunch of black female teachers and assistants. Everybody working in the kitchen is black.
Culture had changed by the time you showed up.
Okay.
Because when it was the old, you know, I can mm-hmm. say it now because
right.
I don't work there. it wasn't that. It was 90%. White.
You mean the teachers. Got it.
The teachers. And
even
everything.
Still. And I'm glad you said that.
And so, and then like, and everybody, and you know, when they wanted to celebrate it, like, you know, I wasn't like on their payroll.
Right.
I was being paid.
Mm-hmm.
When they wanted to celebrate it, I kept hearing about like a person who wanted to do an African dance and then like they cut that out. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, like, you know, what's that about? And everything else like that. That's like, you know, I'm like, that's shady and everything else like that.
And
a lot of people like, you know, disbanded. Then, of course, you know, you got our demilitant black people, who, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. you know, fight the power and everything else like that. And like, you know, and so they took back a little bit of themselves. But at some point, I feel like it's watered down.
Well, I think that's what it was at some point. And then it's not now it's not, but it was. It's not now, but it was. I think part of it is not knowing and nobody really pushing for it. Because when you're frustrated with other stuff, it's like, I don't have time to argue about this right now. Right? Felicia says, I'm still learning our history. So much of it is hidden. I wanted to find this this last little clip I wanted to play. I got to find it, though. It was from ABC News the other night, and it was talking about the lack of black teachers. Did you all see that? It was talking about the lack of black teachers. Will Jones is a reporter that did it for ABC 7 News. And dang, I wish I had it up and ready. But he was the reporter that did it for ABC 7 News. And I just thought it was something that was just I have not watched it yet, but I set it to record. But it got my attention immediately just based on the subject, because it's something that I believe we've been talking about for a while, whether it be us here or even nationally, that, you know, the people who are teaching us, teaching our children, don't necessarily look like us. And I remember as a kid in Catholic school, all of my teachers were black, except for the nuns. Now, I know everybody can't say that, but all of my teachers at Our Lady of Lourdes, except for Sister DePaul Williams who was my sixth grade teacher, and Sister Armello, who was my fourth grade teacher, and Sister Joanne, who was the principal. Everybody else, Mr. Graham, the English teacher, the math teacher, was black. Miss Patterson was black. Miss Johnson was black. All of my teachers, Miss Burt, first grade, black. Miss Johnson, second grade, was black. Miss Porsche, third grade, black. All of my teachers were black. I didn't see a white teacher outside of the nuns until I got to eighth grade, where all of my teachers were white because I was at St. John Lutheran. Now, when I got to Providence St. Mel, I had a mix. I had a mix. I had a mix at Providence St. Mel. What about Tanya? Did you have a mix of teachers at Providence St. Mel, or what?
No. The nuns were still there, and Miss Hadley was our only black school teacher. She who taught accounting and computers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I just go ahead.
No. I'm just saying, like, yeah, it was mostly, I can say it's mostly white at the
okay.
end of the day.
Okay. I think sometimes, could somebody take this as reverse racism? Is this something that is? How do y'all feel about the black teacher situation or the lack thereof? How do you all feel about the lack of black teachers where your kids are going and being taught, and even in some cases African American history being taught by someone who is not African American? I'm just curious. I'm curious. How do y'all feel about that? Is it being overthought or what? This is I'm gonna play, let me see how long this clip is, and then we're gonna go into break right afterwards. Can I skip this commercial? Yeah. All right, so here it is. So I'm gonna play this and then we're gonna go. Tanya, you should still have me. Because I didn't kill the thing. Just don't show the Geico commercial that's playing right now. Oh, you still have it though?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, okay. So as soon as the Geico brother stops talking, we'll be good to go.
The public school students are non-white, but those who teach those students are over half of Illinois public school students are non-white, but those who teach those students are overwhelmingly white, and the lack of representation in front of the classroom could be impacting the achievement gap. If you are a student of color in Illinois, there's a good chance your teacher does not look like you. And when it comes to achievement, representation matters.
They just have a heavier influence.
There is growing research on the positive impact that black teachers have on black students' classroom behavior and academic performance. But according to state education data analyzed by the ABC7 data team, in Illinois, 16% of public school teachers were either black, Hispanic, or Asian. Yet those groups accounted for 49% of the student population in the state.
We need our students to have role models. We need opportunities for them to see themselves represented in the classroom.
But keeping black educators has not been easy. Black teachers have the lowest retention rate of any racial group in the state, with 81% staying in their schools compared to 87% overall.
If we don't get the issue fixed now, it could lead to a generation of students who won't have the same academic success that students in my classroom and other classrooms are getting.
Devin Evans teaches 12th grade at Butler College Prep on Chicago's South Side. He also heads the Black Male Educators Alliance of Illinois.
It is hard work. And if you're in a school that does not support you as a black teacher, it's going to be difficult to maintain yourself in that space.
To better support black teachers, Chicago area districts say recruitment is key, but they're competing for a limited number of black educators entering the profession, and black male teachers are even harder to find.
It's an extreme challenge for us. And we know for all of our other districts within the state.
Indian Prairie School District 204 serves students in the western suburbs. District officials say they've expanded their recruitment efforts and made their hiring teams more diverse. District 204's black teacher retention rate is 90%. Illinois' largest school system, Chicago Public Schools, is keeping its black teachers at a rate of 80%. That's on par with the retention rate for all school districts combined for black teachers.
I was coaching wrestling, and I saw that through coaching and mentoring, I was having a positive effect on my students. So I thought, how could I reach more students?
At the college level, Chicago State University recently launched the Call Me Mister program for black and brown male education students. Their program offers tuition assistance and mentoring.
College is expensive. And if you talk to any of our students in the Call Me Mister program, they'll tell you that that was one of the draws, is that they get a four-year scholarship.
Scholarship recipient Barry Wilson Jr. says some family members and friends tried to push him toward higher paying professions.
The pay doesn't discourage me into wanting to do something that I've always wanted to do. I'm still going to be the teacher that wears the cape in the classroom.
Teachers are nation builders. Their work will last way beyond just the classroom space.
Mr. Evans teaches a course on urban education. He says the more black students see faces like his in the classroom, the more likely they are to consider a career in teaching.
All right. I just want to share that with y'all. Thank y'all for y'all patience with that.
We meet center of town.
I don't know. I think about where I am.
Hold on.
I think about what kids
nope.
see.
Got
I think about the influences that
okay.
our kids go through. I think about all of those things.
And we don't need any more overscheduling.
I wonder,
but we could all use more ways
you know,
to say
how big of an impact it is because the role model.
Switch the Geico for more ways to say
I never wanted to be a teacher as a kid.
So at five, a woman was pistol-whipped and she fell to the ground as she was struggling with a carjacker in Lakeview last night. It happened about 8:30
you know
at Southport and Addison, and Chicago police say the woman refused to comply and tried kicking the man, who then hit her on the forehead with the barrel of a gun. The offender got away with the car. No arrests
have been made. They were speaking to me from a place that other teachers didn't feel like they were coming to me from that same place, if y'all get what I'm saying. It that they spoke to me and it resonated, right? Something about that voice, something about the look, something about all of that mattered to me. For one, watch this. They didn't look like they were afraid of me. If we can be real honest,
nobody wants more robot tests, but we can all use more ways to save.
It could be for good reason, but some of them look like they are afraid of the suit.
Switch the Geico for more
so
ways to say.
So even when they go to correct them, the students can hear
Purdue University student Adonis Tuggle
and
on the ground, a campus police officer on top of him. Tuggle's girlfriend, who doesn't want to be identified, recording the now viral video.
Like,
she tries to intervene.
It was about my kids.
What am I doing to you? I'm trying to get your elbow off my boyfriend's neck. Mm-hmm.
Purdue University police say last Friday they got a call of a woman possibly being held against her will.
Adonis was having an interaction with his girlfriend, and it's our understanding that someone called the police.
Andrew M. Stroke is representing Tuggle. Tuggle's parents live in the Chicago area. The family is calling for a full independent investigation.
It was a completely unprovoked attack, and I spoke to his mother yesterday, and you know, when you're in an academic environment at a school like Purdue University, for something like this to happen is really unfortunate.
The body cam video has not been released yet. This cell phone video doesn't show what happened when the officer first arrived on the scene, but what it was captured is sparking outrage.
The officer went from 0 to 100. He put his elbow in his neck. Adonis said yesterday, again, he felt like George Floyd. He could not breathe.
Campus police say the officer involved is now on leave following death threats. They say after their internal review of this incident, Indiana State Police will investigate. Will Jones, ABC 7 Eyewitness News.
How could it, like, you know, the report card pickup, you know, you guys have seen me here because, you know, Pilar says...
Tell them the I-team has obtained records tonight that reveal in early 2019 the FBI was investigating whether Jason Van Dyke violated Laquan McDonald's civil rights when he killed the Chicago teenager in a police operation. But that federal investigation was to end in mid-2019. There were no federal charges And tonight, still nothing to suggest there will be. January 18th, 2019, former CPD officer Jason Van Dyke is sentenced in Cook County Court to 6 3/4 years in federal prison for murdering Laquan McDonald. Van Dyke notoriously firing 16 shots, killing the teenager who was carrying a knife. According to this federal court record, 4 days later, filed on January 22nd, the government confirms that a civil rights investigation of Van Dyke is underway. So even though Van Dyke had been convicted of second-degree murder in state court, the U.S. Justice Department at that time was looking into whether he also violated McDonald's civil rights. Prosecutors stating in early 2019, the government anticipates that the investigation will continue for at least approximately another 6 months. The civil rights investigation of the shooting by Van Dyke was still active, with FBI officials requesting search warrants or access to the social media accounts of witnesses to the incident. But 6 months later, the summer of 2019, there were no civil rights charges announced. And to this day, with Van Dyke already out of state prison on the murder conviction, no federal charges have been brought.
Every day that passes makes it even less likely.
Former federal prosecutor and ABC7 legal analyst Gil Sofer tonight acknowledges new protests, community demands for charges, and political pressure all coming down on a new attorney general and administration in Washington. But Sofer says charges seem unlikely.
Cases rarely get better with time. They usually get worse. There's no reason to think that something new has turned up that would now prompt DOJ to prosecute when it appears over these many years they decided not to.
Let me ask this question.
Sofer notes that Chicago U.S. Attorney John Lausch is the Van Dyke decision maker. Prospective prosecutions land on his desk. And as the top federal attorney here, a civil rights case would be in Lausch's hands. Most notable is this. Lausch was also the U.S. attorney in 2019 during that first civil rights investigation, and a decision at that time not to charge Van Dyke.
That's fine. No, we ain't got to get off on that. I just thought it out there. I do want to say this.
There appears to be temperatures are in the 40s, and that sky looks more like a springtime sky than a wintertime sky with the breaks in the clouds.
I can tell that there's warmer temperatures than what we've seen over the past few days.
But get ready for a cold weekend because we've got a front moving through.
And
really,
I can tell
as we
when
speak,
people
and
are
behind that front, it's going to be a surge of colder air that comes in tonight.
And so I understand how
Saturday
there are
some
times.
But it's still 42 degrees right now at O'Hare, melting a lot of that snow out there.
That are
cloudy skies out at O'Hare. We've got
real
wind
war,
starting to pick up, so there is a little bit of a wind chill. Feels like 35.
But
what happens this evening?
Fear.
We'll be dropping into the lower 30s with some scattered snow showers developing late this afternoon and as we head into the evening hours. The winds, though, those will noticeably pick
fear,
up
rather,
over the next hour or so. We're already getting gusts
well,
up to
this,
close
if
to 50
this,
miles
I'll come
per
off
hour out in St.
This.
Charles. And these higher winds are coming in behind this cold front. Still in the 40s at O'Hare Midway and the lakefront, but look at the mid-30s back towards Woodstock, Hampshire, Rochelle. Rockford's down to 34.
The truth
that's
about
the colder air that's starting to spill
and one
in
thing
behind
I know
that
about
front. And behind
our,
that front, too, are some snow showers in Wisconsin that are heading our way.
Is great.
There are a couple of rain showers, though, one around DeMont, Indiana, stretching down
great.
Just to the south there of
if your kid is
a couple
hot
of
mess,
stray showers. But here's the batch of snow that will kind of rotate
your
in
kid is a
late
hot
this
mess.
Evening and overnight tonight. This could produce some bursts of
heavier
snow at times, especially along the lakefront and into northwest Indiana. So at 10:30, you can see a couple scattered snow showers with us. Overnight, as we head towards 1, 2 o'clock in the morning,
diplomatic.
More scattered snow.
When it comes
we'll probably get
to
some lake enhancement and some lake effect to kick in during the overnight hours.
He is
that
very diplomatic because
to Lake
I'm
County
sitting
and
there like,
County
no,
here
gonna,
in Indiana.
You know,
also
I'm
Mr.
No, let's throw all this
well.
Off.
But that will continue for several hours overnight tonight.
He's
and
very
even
diplomatic
first thing tomorrow morning,
when it comes
light
to those
snow
conversations.
Coming
but
in
I,
off the lake.
I,
but look at the temperature.
I am.
5:30 tomorrow
I believe
morning.
That
we'll be in the single digits in the northwest suburbs to lower
on the back way too many times.
And it's going to stay cold all day tomorrow. Partly sunny skies
that,
with temperatures
we've done them,
maybe sneaking
done
up to about 20 by the afternoon tomorrow.
And
so
a lot of
20 to 25 degrees
like
colder tomorrow
I didn't, because I didn't see the article,
to this
so I
afternoon.
Now, I watched
and we could pick up a couple
time,
inches of snow
quick.
Here in northwest Indiana. Again, this is lake effect
that will
kick in tonight, tomorrow morning. So 1, 2, maybe 3 inches.
But I get it because CBS is paying all
Lake Porter and LaPorte counties as we go through the
overnight
hours tonight.
Look at the temperatures tonight. We'll drop off into the teens by the time the sun comes up tomorrow morning with a few scattered snow showers.
But at the same time, I wonder about some of these other schools.
Pretty much in the teens all day with wind chills down into the single digits throughout much of the day tomorrow. So today, 45 was
the
high, 33 below, 34 and 21 are the averages for this day.
How do the kids feel about the
teacher? So here's moving through tonight. We hide it, the colder air settles in with a high of 21 tomorrow. Still cold on Sunday. A few flurries possible. Temperatures in the low 20s. Chances of more light snow and flurries early Monday morning. Monday we'll start to warm up to about 33, and then as we head towards next Tuesday, we'll climb to the upper 30s, and that'll set the stage for a mild day next Wednesday. But tonight,
99%.
Turning sharply colder and breezy, some flurries
of
light snow as we drop in the mid to low teens. 21 tomorrow, only 22 on Sunday. 33 on Monday, a couple of flurries Sunday,
so
Monday.
Those are
dry
the ones,
Tuesday, look at Wednesday. I still got that 50, Robin Judy. Then we get a cold snap here with possibly some
build
snow
the relationship
on Thursday and Friday.
You
we'll
know,
have a high
the they're building relationships.
Whole weekend after a mild day today.
Okay.
Where sometimes the teacher is not necessarily, because of time constraints, the teacher really does not have the time.
Patrick Daly Thompson leaving court today with his family with all the evidence
battery,
and testimony now before
the
jury.
Patrick, how
do
you feel about the trial? You feel good?
Thompson declining to comment. Earlier, he told the judge that he would not take the stand and testify on his own behalf. Legal experts say it was probably a smart move.
It's an impossible argument, I think, for the alderman to make on a witness stand under oath
that
he's such a fool.
Mm-hmm.
That he's getting all this money and doesn't know where it comes from.
They
still took the mortgage stuff.
Thompson is the only member of the Daly family to stand trial in federal court and the first sitting alderman to go on trial in 20 years. He's accused of borrowing $110,000 from Washington Federal to buy a partnership in his law firm and then also claiming $15,000 in mortgage deductions over 5 years. He's also accused of lying about two other loans. Today, his defense team called numerous character witnesses, including a Catholic priest from Daly's Bridgeport neighborhood, Father Jozo Gerbis, testifying, "I always thought he was a honest, gentle man, just a good, decent human being." NBA referee Mark Davis, a friend of Thompson's for decades, testified, "I know him to be brutally honest to a fault." And Thompson's longtime friend and law partner Rob Gamrath testified he is probably the most overscheduled person I've met, adding he is a great strategic thinker, but not a detail person.
If you have some people who will vouch for your client,
all right. Anyway,
then you can
we're
going to
take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into our conversation for tonight. Y'all got real quiet in the chat box. I mean, real quiet. I appreciate your message, though, because it is true. We are all still learning
just didn't pay very close attention to the documents signed from his accountants. This trial moved much more quickly than the judge expected.
The
jury will now return on Monday morning to hear closing arguments and then likely begin deliberations in the afternoon, 3 days ahead of schedule.
Right. And the truth of the matter is that we have to work harder.
Frida Kahlo,
everybody
yes, a renowned Mexican artist, ahead of her time, but
hard
also
work
a loving aunt.
Kill anybody.
She loved me
now,
and Heather. Where,
if you gotta
she said,
call it out when it happens,
you are the most beautiful.
We should call it out when
I
it happens. We
and
absolutely
what?
Should call it out. I don't. I'm not saying we should ignore.
A great hair like her.
Mata Kahlo is the only niece Frida ever had.
Happens.
Mata Kahlo and her daughter, Mata Leanda,
the
are
next
in
George
Chicago
Floyd
for an
situation when it happens.
Called Immersive Frida Kahlo,
it's going
which
to happen.
Highlights Frida
not,
as a family
let's just be real. I'm not saying that. It's going to happen. What I'm saying, though, is that that can be the only
struggle and passion.
That can be the flashpoint.
And
we can also have a flashpoint of when we say that, you know what, graduating a large amount of money. Now, I don't even want to use the term graduating need anymore. I want to say, you know, we want to have some way of the most successful African-American business program, period. I know about
I'm going to
Right. I was doing great, and so will. Every time on the news, shouldn't be about something else happened to another black person. Every time they show, every time they show us, it's representing struggling lives or hurting each other.
Chicago area. The positive woman of her own life would have this to say to all of us.
That they have to show it first.
You know, when you're in an academic environment at a school like Purdue University, for something like this to happen,
I mean, you
is really unfortunate.
Very well.
The body
you know
cam
what?
Video has not been released yet. This cell phone video doesn't show
you
what happened when the officer first arrived on the scene. But what was captured is
talking
out
the officer went from 0 to 100, put his elbow in his neck. Adonis said yesterday, and he felt like George Floyd. He could not breathe.
That story is and everything else like that. And you know,
this backhoe
it just
left
so
abandoned in a parking lot in Bus
Drive was pistol with a legend fell to the ground as she was struggling with a carjacker in Lakeview last night. It happened about 8:30. Southward in Addison. Chicago police say the woman refused to comply and tried kicking the man who then hit her on the floor and the barrel of a gun. The offender got away with the car. No arrests have been made.
But just with the audience, period, we could have had mentioned that. School.
My neighbors was calling me. Marsha, you know,
the team has obtained
yes,
records tonight that reveal in early 2019 the FBI was investigating whether Jason Van Dyke violated Laquan McDonald's civil rights when he killed the Chicago teenager in a police operation. But that investigation was to end in mid-2019. There were no federal charges, and tonight still nothing to suggest there will be. January 18, 2019, former CPD officer Jason Van Dyke is sentenced to
I agree with you. I'm saying that quarter year. Because even right now,
notoriously firing.
Even right now, there's another video. If you guys haven't seen it yet, there's a video around about a Purdue student who was being held down in the snow by a white police officer with his arm in front of him.
Investigation
where Hopkins is underway.
So even though Van Dyke had been convicted of second degree murder, the U.S. Justice Department at that time,
bro, y'all lucked out. Y'all messed up.
Prosecutors stating in early 2019,
you know,
the government anticipates
well, look,
that the investigation
let's
will
real quick
continue
break.
For at least approximately another 6 months.
When we come back,
money with
we will jump into our conversation with our conversation.
FBI officials requesting
search warrants
for access to the social media accounts of witnesses to the incident.
6 months later, the degree of developing a worship from in Greece for developing a worship and from that's going to be part one. And then we're going to get out of here and get ready to get ready. That's a quick break. In the meantime, in between time, we're going to give y'all a little bit of this. What was rarely get a fair amount of time while you're trying to say that something new has been done that would now require DOJ to trust when it is join the choir.
To say that you're Christian, but when it comes down to being all that you have been preaching, what would the Lord have to say about you? Would he say that you you
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, on Sunday morning. When it comes down to being loved, but with the Lord, what would my God have to say? To say, would it say that you have been holy? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Would it say that you have been faithful?
All right, we are coming on back. We were coming on back again. That little song done kind of grew on me a little bit. That is What Would He Say from the In His Presence Gospel Choir featuring Tia Skipper. Always, always good, good. All right, y'all, let's jump down into it for tonight. We got this good article for you guys tonight. We got a good one. We always try to have a good one. So this one is really, really good. And hopefully you can get something out of this. We're going to jump into this. 14 ingredients for developing a worship ministry from scratch. The writer of the article is Dan Wilkes. We've used him before. Brother Dan Wilkes is an artist, author, musician, educator, songwriter, communicator, and spiritual life writer. With 50 plus years in the Vineyard family churches, he serves in various ways to further new creation limitations of the Christian life through. So here we go. 14 ingredients for developing a worship ministry from scratch. This is going to be good. About 6 years ago, I developed the following basic idea on building a worship ministry for church planting, pastors, and worship leaders. Since then, many experiences, some I know they're below, but more quickly, have seasoned my thinking about how we can establish a worship life community that lasts for the long haul. I hope this 14 ideas encourage you if you are in this phase of church. It's like baking bread, the right word. He says, building a worship ministry in your church is more like making a loaf of bread to build the building. Ingredients shape the whole, and when the right ones are there, a particular fragrance and taste fills the church and music. People are looking for grace. Jesus is the grace. Worship can create a place of access to Jesus. In a worship ministry, the flour makes up the bulk of the bread. It's the substance that people are eating. The yeast makes it rise, makes it chew, makes it melt in your mouth. The flour is not the yeast. In worship, the flour is the why of worship. It is the reason you worship. It is the collective value and meaning of worship. The music and other languages of worship are the yeast. They help it all rise to be tasted, to draw it back, they become part of the substance when they are doing their job. E14 ingredients are both flour and yeast, both what will make bread substantial and the bread fine. So let's jump into this. Here we go. 14 ingredients for cooking up a worship meal. Where do we start? He says, at the very foundation of the dough, what is worship? Then we move to the yeast. How-to ideas of building a worship meal. So here we go. Number one. So important. Can't go anywhere without this. You have to determine your definition of worship, plus create your worship philosophy. Now, I do these articles, and I do them because they always, I like them because they make people think. I don't always agree. I'm going to read this again. Number one, determine your definition of worship, plus create your worship philosophy. Okay, here we go. The writer says, this is a big one. A little time is worth it. This is where it all starts. If the definition is off, even by just a few degrees, from a sound biblical vision of worship, we will have worship bread that is heavy on yeast, light and fluffy, and low on substance. Or vice versa, heavy on substance and low on texture. First, start at Romans 12, 1 and 2, and reach back into the Old Testament and forward towards Revelation, the new creation. For this definition I came up with, so the definition is here. It's simple. It's simple. You need biblically based definitions, right? And we figure out the problem with worship industry, radio industry, more because of all of our, because we have these limited definitions. He says, from this, once you get the definition of what worship is and what it should look like, you go back to Romans 12 and 2. Self-offering and loyalty in all aspects of everyday life. Then, of course, John 4, 21 and 23. That's the heart of who we are. Flowing in spirit and in truth and engaged relationship. Right? So from this, you can emerge your worship philosophy. This is important iteration of the vision of the worship is all about, to which you can call people to in the church and in the worship group. This should be revisited each year and edited as appropriate. Do you know the true definition of worship? You cannot talk about forming a productive or a fruitful worship ministry if you have not taken the time to determine the definition of worship from a biblical standpoint, and then create a worship philosophy.
Now maybe you haven't been there before.
A lot of times we just want to, if I get the people, I'll be all right.
And great tribulation.
You can go get 10 great things.
In the midst of everything.
Wonderful things. Great voices.
To the storm and the rain.
And still screw up your worship. Because you've never set a standard for, you've never set a standard for what you want to put on display for a biblical definition of worship, a biblical display of what worship is. If you never set that standard, I don't care if you get the top 10 best singers in Chicago right now, your worship ministry will still be lacking. Or as the writer said, you have a lot of fluff. Oh, they're going to hit some runs. Or they're going to hit you with some high notes. They're going to get you with some harmony and some melodies that's going to just have your wig going back the other way. But I promise you, it's going to be all fluff. It's going to be all fluff. You got to determine your definition of worship. Number two. Once you determine the definition of worship, and you have set your worship philosophy, the second point says, spread your worship philosophy through every aspect of church life.
Hallelujah.
Spread Hallelujah. Your worship philosophy through every aspect of church life. The writer says this: having created a worship philosophy built on a solid definition of worship, now you have something to speak from, teach from, and lead from. Let me say that again. Now you have something to speak from, teach from, and lead from in every aspect of your church's worship life. From how you set up the stage, how you handle your musician rotation, to how worship is led in small groups, to what you purchase for visual and sound gear, you are seeking to spread the philosophy through everything you do. Your worship philosophy should be from the time the lights come on at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning until the lights go off at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It should be a part of everything that day. Your worship philosophy, even there should be some aspects, there should be some seeds, there should be some residue, even in the Sunday school meeting for what worship is going to be. You're setting the stage, even in Sunday school, for what worship is going to look like. You're setting the stage. Are we doing that, though? Are we doing that? Are we just doing the other side? Getting the good lights, getting the good cameras, but we ain't dealing with the John 4, 21 and 23. We ain't dealing with that part. We ain't dealing about the true worship part. We getting all the stuff, though. Let me get this. Let me get that. Oh, let's buy this. Let's buy that. Oh, let's do this. Let's do that. If we build it, they will come. No, this ain't build the dream. Let's keep it going. Number three. Build worship on a holistic value set. Build worship on a holistic value set. Here's where the values come in. They spring from your worship philosophy. When we in the Vineyard family, he says, my church movement, talk about worship words, words like intimacy with God, accessibility, integrity, cultural connection, and kingdom expectation come to the forefront. Not all worship movements approach worship with all these same values before them. But what are your church values? Phrases like equipping the saints and words like simplicity, healing, and mission are used when we in the Vineyard family talk about worship. God is the subject of the worship sentence, is one of our mantras. We are the object of his love, John 1:19. Songs are a place we go to meet with God. But life is a place we go to partner with God. Oh, this is cool. Think holistically and make a big deal out of your values. It changes the music. It changes the music. Think about that. Think about that for a moment. Are you putting your values into the worship set? Are you making sure that everything, so that these key words are being used, healed, mission, equipping the saints, integrity, accessibility, kingdom expectation? Come on, Malia Stewart. But you know what, Malia Stewart? Let me say this. I know where you're going with the Build-A-Bear mindset. But you can go to Build-A-Bear, watch this, and if you don't put the right amount of stuffing, I wish I had some help now, the right amount of stuffing, filling in the bear, you're going to have some problems. Or, like the writer said, you can overstuff. It's a delicate balance that you it simply means you got to be in tune with God all the time to constantly know what he sees, to constantly be able to stay connected. You got to constantly check in. Constantly checking. Number four. Let's keep going. Number four says, again, we're talking about tonight. 14 ingredients. 14 ingredients for developing a worship ministry from scratch. This is part one. There's 14 parts. We're doing 7 of them tonight. Number four. Oh my God. This could have been number one easy. choose a worship leader with both heart and I want to be one. I want to be one. You are. If you're not one, I don't want to be there. With both heart and feet. The writer says, you're praying for someone who has a passion to go inside. And the basic musical skills it takes to lead worship. Track musicians and build the range of the logistics skills are vital for scheduling and pastoral skills for keeping the team on track. Alicia, y'all have been told them with your points. That's true. That's true. And so, and musicians do too. This is good. You're praying for someone who has the passion to go on track and the basic musical skills to take the lead. The track musicians will build a range of the logistics skills are vital for scheduling and pastoral skills for keeping the team. You got to choose a leader with heart and skills. Watch this. We talk about heart for worship. You could be a nice person. You could be sweet as pie. But do you have a, and you can have a heart for people. Can I say it like this? You can have a heart for people. That doesn't necessarily mean you have a heart for worship.
To behold you as my King. I want to be where
you can have a heart for people. But that doesn't mean you have a heart for worship. Malia Stewart says, too many of y'all worship leaders are aspiring singers. Yeah. Yeah. He says, work in the Chitlin' Circuit. Lord have mercy. But this is true. Yes, you want skilled people. Yes, you want skilled people. I'm like, what's breaking over there? Yes, you want skilled people. But you also want people who want to use their skill for the benefit of worship and not the benefit of self. Let me say that again. You want skilled people to use said skill set for the benefit of worship and not for the benefit of self. So let it be about them second or third, not first. Glorifying God, edifying the people. Then you. Glorifying God, edifying the people. Then you. And sometimes we get it twisted. Because I want to make this solo I got about me. Here we go now. Because I want it to be about me. And then the people going to see me hit this note. And God will then be pleased. That's literally the order we put in. God is the first. He ain't going to get a good second. God is the first. Because I'm going to hit these notes. Which is going to make the people shout and catch the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not first. Now it's different when it's the Father's Son. Now it's not. Listen. Yes.
No. Back at our old church, I'm like, it was hard. For me, listen to you guys, because I was like wondering, did the conviction to hit y'all just then? Right. All of y'all, me included.
You knew everybody outside.
We looked like a bad condition of the hangover and everything. So I'm looking like, I'm not gonna play with God like that. I can't play with him like that. If I was up there, all the ladies hit the floor and then, I'm not gonna play with him like that. Right. Yeah, you know that. Oh, right. I mean, yeah, nothing, y'all. But I mean, a lot of times I just felt like I couldn't. say with God like that. I cannot, like, at what moment, the moment you got out the vehicle, the convictions, you know, set in on you and everything else like that, or, like, you know, was it 24 hours ago and everything else like that? Was it the moment I left y'all? That's why it was so hard. Like, y'all was the best dangerous. Y'all can sing. But I'm saying, we look like a bad set of the Hangover, the black people version, and that kind of bothered me and everything.
I can't answer for anybody else. I can tell you, I can tell you, I know for me, sometimes it was just getting through the song. I'm gonna get up there and say, but then there were times, based on whatever was going on the night before, that conviction would set in, because you're singing a song, and then your brain, your spirit, or your mind, your body, and your spirit all meet up at the same time.
Okay.
And now you're realizing at that moment, because of what you're doing, at that moment does not coincide with what you were doing the previous night. So then conviction does set in. Now here is the flip side. You're convicted in the moment, but not convicted enough to change.
Right.
Like, so the conviction was legitimate because you were convicted in the moment.
Okay, I say it like this.
Come on.
I felt like sometimes, like, you know.
Did you think people were faithful to you?
Yeah. I'm like, 5 years a month? Okay, for real? Okay. And then at 2, whenever we end it and everything else like that, it's like, you know, we back on track now. Like, if you can revisual, like, you know, the church music was still going a little bit, you know, a little bit longer, maybe 3 to 4 hours before we got into
the box,
you know, into something else and everything else like that. And then also, like, some people, I also, like, I'm not speaking to nobody. I'm like, I'm not being judgmental. It was just very hard.
No.
And everything else like that. I know some people, I saw some people who took that conviction at 11 a.m. And they probably had it before then. I just, like, you know, I just tried to get 11.
Mm-hmm.
At 11 a.m. And they took it, and after 2 p.m. they still had it, and 3 p.m. they said, like, you know, and I would hear them say, like, you know, God didn't want this for their life, and I was like, okay. I'm like, God, that's good, and everything else like that. And, you know, it's so hard, I know
from the singing standpoint was one part. I know for preaching it's very, very difficult. And I've had those moments after moments where you're preaching and saying every word you're saying is like sticking you in your, it's like somebody taking a toothpick and sticking it underneath your skin. Because that's the level of pain you're causing yourself in just delivering the word. Because I'm trying to help you in hurting me. Helping you in convicting me. Because I have to tell you this story. But in order for me to tell you this story, I got to step in my own toes. Right? Sometimes it does not. It's like you can take people to the temple. I'm simply saying that. Is those the case? We have those people who, even in all of their errors, even in all of their shortcomings, if you just go to the Bible, there were too many people in the Bible who had that same issue. We often go, you know, it's easy. It's not to use it as excuse. It's to use it as example. Now the difference is, when we always say when we know better, we should do better. The problem is, the reason God keeps us going through these same things over and over again is because we have not yet learned. But we have not made the choice to completely change. We want to keep our faith in the Word. I'm going to put my whole left side over here, and I'm going to put three toes on my right foot in here too. But my pinky toe got to stay out here, because just in case, man, just in case the right party hit, I'm up. Just in case the right phone call hit, I'm up. Just in case the right invitation hit, I'm up. Just in case the right opportunity hit, I'm up. Or I want to be able to get that. Now, I'm going to come back over here. But I want to be able to get, and that's where.
I just don't think God wants you.
Oh, he doesn't want it? No, but you know,
personally, me and you spoke about that, a little bit convicted and everything. So we make a change and everything. Because I think God would bless us more, and I know this is about worship.
No, it's part of it.
If you close the door,
if it was legitimate,
is that I gotta shave a little bit more, but I still love the Lord.
It's more being afraid of
what people want to say.
Of what you might do.
But you guys were so
adamant. We were.
Other people who don't share. You got
absolutely.
Like, you know, that.
I'll say this, and your observation is not alone. I think this is probably something that people in the church realm, in the church universe, have been going through and are still going through. And you think about it from the standpoint of some of these amazing who are not living the lives of the people, but yet they can move a crowd. Because yes, I think about it like this. God used everybody. And even the people that he chose after the reason we preach and talk about David so much in the Bible is because David's example is one of David was doing it all the right way. He was doing everything the right way. Up until David was good. He was a good little shepherd boy. He went out there and kicked Goliath's butt. He didn't talk bad against the king, even though he knew the king was bogus. He didn't do none of that. He was good. But the minute that David messed up after God put him in position, after the fact, prior to that, we don't read that. That don't mean David didn't make no mistake. But the Bible doesn't tell us about anything negative about David until after he was on the ground.
Out of our teachers, we speak with our spiritual
Now, the difference is, when it was brought to David's attention that he had messed up, because David knew he had messed up with Bathsheba. He knew that already. But when his buddy came to him and said and shared the story, you're about the lamb, and you took the one lamb from this person that all he had left, and you took it. That was the beginning of David, but David it was legitimate because David fell down on his face and said, oh, Lord, I done messed up. Don't take your joy away from me. That's where that song comes from. Don't take your joy away from me. Restore me the joy of my salvation. Created me a new, make me a new creation. Shake me and make me whole. All that. That's where he got that from. That's where we get that from. Because his conviction was real. And there are a lot of people who are convicted daily, hours. But that's why the Bible tells us all the time, killing the flesh is not a one-time thing. It's a daily thing. There's some people who need to kill the flesh of lust and adultery and fornication. Others need to kill the flesh of wanting to cuss people out or whatever. Everybody is, you're constantly killing that man or woman daily, hourly. Hourly. Come on, Felicia. Sent the man to war, slept with his wife, and then tried to cover it up. This is after God had called him, not before. So we gotta, yeah, you're right. And then when you know the people, it's difficult to find.
But, and I was never the one to be like, well, yeah, I was like, you know.
Right.
I never do that. It was just like, it's like, this is.
Imagine if David.
Being in God, you know, God's presence or, you know, being Christian, like, mm-hmm. you know, it's so hard. I was like, wait. Like, you know, it's like you're standing in the middle of a torrential rain, and you're like, what are we doing? And everything, like, you know, so like, at what point, like, you know, I just felt like it was just like Chinese jump rope, like, you know, like what moment I'm in, one moment I'm out, and everything goes like that.
I think for the we can put a pin in it. We can't wrap it up. We can put a pin in it and say that it's a daily process. For some people, worship is just that. It's just singing. I'm going to sing. I'm going to try to sing real good. I hope somebody's going to shout, and then I'm going to go back to doing what I want.
Okay.
For other people, there's a daily struggle. They want to be this person. They have a desire to be this person, but they don't know how. And so all they can do is continue to hope that at some point, what they're singing about and what they're preaching about becomes the most prevalent thing, and that they're not spending that you know, instead of having half in, half out, that can I get two-thirds in, third out? Can I get almost all of it in, just this little piece out? And then it's to the point where I get it all in, and I do that hopefully before I close my eyes.
Okay, you get it, right? Because that's what I was feeling like, you know. I think because, you know, we have the book. Because the book doesn't say, like, hey, these are the ingredients to make it. You know, he gives us some ingredients to make it into heaven.
Right.
But, like, you know, because of how worldly we are, like, and you can go to the Baptist and Jesus. You can send it to the club. You know, you don't do anything. Like, you know, I guarantee, because we don't have, I think people are looking for a rubric to get into heaven.
It's just that, here was the problem. The more time, everybody don't have the same issue.
Nope.
But the more time you spend in the world, is. But when you have those people who've never really been in the world, but they're in the world, then that's why it's so easy for them to say, I'm all in, I'm not 9.999. And the only reason the other percentage in there is because I don't know that God is versus people who grew up in church. And again, it's all about the way we were raised in church. Because the truth be told, we were raised in church, but we weren't taught properly. because we saw our parents do it. Now, don't get me wrong. Let me be real clear. If your mama and them was having fish fries on Friday night, and the deacon and the pastor was over there eating fish fries and whatever at your mama's house, that's going to always look. I can hear you preaching on Sunday, but I'm still going to remember you at the fish fry on Friday. Something that's the same thing. You know what I'm saying? There is a, because we are as overly exposed as we are. Imagine this. Think about it this way. I'll go back to David, then I'm going to move on. What if Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, when David did what he did, David would not have been able to remain with him. Even though he was picked and chosen by God, the only people that knew what David had done was David, God, and nature. That's it. I don't even think Bathsheba knew what David had did to get him. So God covered up for David. He hid David. He hid David's wrongdoing from him because he established David. So David still paid consequence. That's why that first baby died. That's why he had hell in his family. Tamar, all of that. All of that stuff happened. But he was God's man. Thank you. He was God's man. God said, look here, I called him because I saw him out there with them sheep. I knew what he was capable of doing. I also know he's going to mess up, but I'm ready. And I know even when I punish him, it ain't going to break. But I'm going to punish him, not the people. Because the people, if the people find out, they're going to punish him and they're going to want to take his life. So God hid what David did from the people. But David chose to advise me. And that's what broke David's heart, because his advisor came to him and said, man, I know what you did. And God does too. And that was all David needed to hear. That's why he fell to his face. Rent his clothes. I'm talking about rent his clothes and Bible study. He tore his clothes up, started pouring ashes on his and dirt on his head, because he knew he had broke God's heart. I'm gonna punish him, but I won't break. That might preach. Number five. Look, what time is it? We didn't even get through number 6, 5, 6, 7.
That's
all good. No, the conversation was worth it. It was worth it. We gonna hit all this next week. We gonna get through these last. We gonna get 5, 6, and 7. And then the other seven. So we're gonna hit all ten of these next week in part two. But that's a valid thing, and we all have to get through that. All of us should have a goal, and then the question is, what are you doing to reach it? Right? It's kind of like I'm gonna go work out every day, but I'm still gonna eat bad. That's the same thing. I'm going to work out every day. I'm going to get a gym 90 minutes every day. But I'm still going to knock down these pizza puffs, these Italian beans, these tacos, these burritos, these hot dogs. I'm still going to knock all this out. So yeah, I appreciate that. That was a good question. That's actually good. That's good study material. Because I think about it. You know, I am in no way pleased on nobody, because I'm a faithful man. We gonna pray. Think about, and I'm not comparing him to David. I'm not. But look at how they try, and I didn't talk about this today. I talked about it on Monday. Y'all see how they dragging What's for me? Bishop Noel Jones. Because he finally proposed to Loretta.
Strength of the weakness. Joy of sadness.
27 years. And he finally proposed. Now they dragging Noel. Talking about, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now we don't know what Noel and Loretta was doing. We can assume they were getting it in. Got married. But I don't know that because I don't know now one of them. And it really ain't. I really don't know them like that. I don't know what they were doing. But I wanted, I bought him Noel Jones, but I thought about it. Look at, and I know this might not be the best example, this is the one that comes to mind, because he can't see me stay out of it in this area. Jamal Bryant. Jamal Bryant has a powerful voice. I enjoy people that they do. I really do. Except for the fake gangster preacher. But Jamal Bryant has a powerful voice. But his voice gets weaker every time there is a new source. Because unlike the time of David, you know, if they want to tell somebody what David did, you know, you had to send that by a carrier pigeon. Send the race. And hope that it made it. But days, how long it's going to take to get there? He knows my name. But it's got to be hard to listen to Jamal Bryant. I know it's hard for like people to sit and listen to Jamal Bryant's sermon, knowing what we've been told and what's been exposed. Just like some people can't listen to R. Kelly no more, right? People can't watch Bill Cosby no more, right? It's a choice. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for the amazing, awesome conference. God, we thank you for every listener, every viewer, every watcher. God, we're praying right now, God, for those who are still going through grieving. God, we're praying for the Brunson family who will be laying to rest their dear family tomorrow here at the church. We're praying for Sister Naomi Campbell, who is laying her sister the rest on tomorrow. We're praying for Natalie Dumas, whose cousin is being laid to rest tomorrow. So many people in our church, God, have left here within in 10 to 14 days. We saw 3 people. And, but God, we're still going to give you the glory. We're still going to give you the honor. And we most definitely still going to give you the praise. Now, God, we get ready to leave this place and have a good question. God, we have to choose them. Have no mercy to you. Bless whatever food you get. So we may be nourished through our bodies. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all. I got to go. Bless you, Malia. Bless you. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. We had a good time tonight. I will see y'all back on Monday. And all that good stuff. I didn't see you pick who I got the Super Bowl. I got St. Louis. I got St. Louis. I think St. Louis. I think it's going to be an absolute blowout. St. Louis. Rain. We're going to a Super Bowl party, y'all. And it's, you know, it's a party with some people I ain't never been to a party with. So y'all pray that, you know, because you know how I am about food. Let's pray that everything is awesome. But y'all know y'all going to hear about it. I don't know if we're doing the show Monday either. Because we ain't figured that out yet either. Because it is Valentine's Day. Valentine's. We don't know if we're doing the show on Monday. But stay tuned. You'll get some notes and all that good stuff. All right, y'all. In the meantime, in between time, if you got to drive, you know the routine. Through this special city, the one we call Chi-Town, do me a favor. my brother and my sister, keep your head. We need to talk about Don Cornelius tonight. On a swivel. Two T's, one L, one O. We wish you love, peace, and
with your hands lifted.